Yeah, let's go Sacramento Kings. Whitey Gleason here in our Sacramento studios. We go to Houston now where Kyle Draper is getting ready to bring us the Rockets and the Kings. And Kyle, happy Monday to you. Thanks for your time, of course, but we appreciate it when you're on the road. But there's a little pressure on you tonight. We kind of need you to come through with a victory tonight, big guy. I'm sorry.
Hey, you know what, Whitey? You know, the team couldn't handle their business on Saturday, so I'm going to take things into my own hands. I already hollered at my guy Travis Scott, Bun B, everybody down here in Houston. I said, you know what? My Kings need a win tonight. Let's make it happen. I think you'll see a much more inspired Sacramento team. What happened Saturday? I'm going to say it right off the bat, Whitey.
Wow.
What
wow.
happened Saturday is unacceptable if you're a Sacramento Kings fan and if you're a Sacramento Kings player. This team is better than that. And so I expect a big-time bounce-back game tonight from our guys.
Sounded like it was also unacceptable as far as Mike Brown was concerned, and one of the things that's becoming something of an issue here, and hopefully to your point, hopefully the Kings can, you know, put it in the rear view tonight, but there are some questions now as to who this team is. We know who they want to be. We know who they were last year. I'm not sure we know what and who they are right now. The offense, which we thought we could count on, of course, is everyone can recognize it's not what it was last year. And then defensively, they're up and down. So in your estimation, who and what are the Kings right now? How far are they from what they want to be?
I think they're still a ways away, to be honest with you. You know, they are improved defensively. The numbers indicate that. But the offense just has not looked smooth. But I will say this, Whitey. We're five games into the season. Did we know who this team was five games in last year? Remember, they were 1-4 through their first five. And so, Kings fans, calm down just a little bit. You got all these basketball experts on Twitter or X or whatever we call it, Elon Musk's playground. So many basketball experts out there. Just shut up, guys. Let Mike Brown, let the coaches handle it. They'll be fine. And so all this talk, who are we? Identity. Uh-oh, you can't lose to Houston. We're five games in. This team was 1-4 last year, and they had some new additions, and they're missing De'Aaron Fox. It's a long NBA season. See, you got me fired up already, man. I didn't come in here this fired up, but now you got me fired up, Whitey, because it just seems like everybody's panicking right now. We need to just calm down.
Well, that's because the coach is not taking that tack. The coach didn't say after that loss, he didn't say, you know what? We're five games in, we're fine. That's not what Coach Brown said. So when the coach is saying this is unacceptable, people better start doing what they're supposed to do or we just won't play them, you can't blame fans for getting a little concerned when they're hearing that so early in the season.
Well, but that's what the coach is supposed to say, you know, after a loss. I'll tell you this. The Kings had practice yesterday here in Houston. And it was a lengthy practice. It was a good 3 to 4 hours, which is usually longer than what they go. And so clearly Mike Brown was unhappy with what we saw the other night here in Houston, and rightfully so. But this whole notion that, uh-oh, they got to fix it, you know, what's going on here? I think, you know, when you look at an NBA season, 10 to 20 games is really what it takes to sort of hit your stride. And we're only halfway, a quarter of the way through the first 20 games. And so what I saw Wednesday against Golden State showed me that this team can be good. This team, there's no need to worry about this team, even without De'Aaron Fox. I'll tell you this. I wasn't shocked at how lethargic we looked the other night against Houston. I'll tell you a secret here. We hop off the plane, and the first thing the players are going to do is they go to practice. Me, Katie, and G-Man, we decided to go back to the hotel. I'm driving to the hotel with Katie and G-Man, and I say to Katie, I'm like, man, I don't know how these players going to practice today because I felt jet lag. I felt tired. She reminded me, Kyle, you're 48. They're in their 20s, so I'm sure their bodies feel a little bit better. But they went from practice to De'Aaron Fox's jersey retirement ceremony, got back to the hotel around 10:30, turned around, had practice the next morning as well. And so I'm going to hold off on judging this team. Now, if they come out flat again tonight, I might start hitting the panic button tomorrow. But right now, you know what? I'm going to count it as a schedule loss. You know, they just look lethargic. Houston looked like the team with the more energy. And so if I'm the Kings, I should be excited to get back out on the floor. I expect, like I said, to see a much improved Kings team.
By the way, to that point, and just to take a little detour here, you reminded me of something I saw last night. I was watching the documentary on the Dream Team. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about how hard it is to fly and then practice, then you got a game the next day. And you've probably seen this, but all the players are on that Dream Team, that Barcelona Olympic team. They were saying that Michael Jordan would play golf all day, then he would play right. cards all night and get up yes. the next day and score 40. And they'd say, how does he do it? I mean, right. he must be bionic.
Exactly. You know, and that's why he was Michael Jordan,
yeah,
right? That's
yeah.
why he was a different dude.
Well, here's the thing that makes me think that the Kings are trying to sort out exactly how they're going about this. And I'm not trying to make too much of this, but this was, it's not alarming, but it's interesting. I know I shared this with you earlier today. Malik said, actually it was Davion. Davion said this. He said, that's the tough part, trying to play as fast as they want and also trying to play really good defense. It's tough, but I think really good teams accomplish that. And that's how teams become really good teams
right.
when they can do both. But it is a challenge. It's interesting because I know we said after the Warrior game, hey, Keegan, you know, he worked so hard to defend Steph Curry. Maybe he had nothing left in the tank offensively. But it looks like we saw some of that or something like that against Houston. So it seems like the Kings are struggling to play as intensely on defense as Mike Brown requires and still getting up and down the floor as much as he wants them to do offensively. It's
yeah,
that's a concern.
I think there's a little something to that because what you're seeing from this Kings team, they're playing fast on both ends
yeah.
of the floor. I mean, you look at them scrambling defensively, trying to get after it defensively, and in my mind, I just always picture Kevin Huerter and just the, how hard he is working defensively. And so there is going to be an adjustment period. We're only five games in. I will say that's what separates the great teams from just the very good teams, you know? There's a reason why the Warriors will go down as one of the all-time great teams because it's hard to be a top-five offensive team and a top-five defensive team. And you know, Whitey, as well as I do, when the Warriors were winning their championships, when they won three out of four, it wasn't just because they outscored teams and put up 130 every night. They were also one of the best defensive teams out there. And that's what makes Steph Curry so incredible, right?
I mm-hmm.
mean, and it goes back to training, offseason conditioning, all of that. And I think the Kings are starting to learn that. You know, what's interesting is obviously they're missing shots. But that game against Houston, when they took the lead, I thought, man, it was there for the taking. And then the Rockets responded, you know, with the 7-0 run, and then they ran away with it. And so that's what was so disappointing to me because never once did I feel like the Kings were actually playing Kings basketball the other night. But yet here they were in the third quarter hanging around. And you would hope that somebody would flip a switch. Something would get going, and it just never happened for them the other night.
That was a bizarre quarter with the two teams combining for 27 points. Like, what?
15-12,
yeah,
man.
Was,
come
on. I hope after, you know, the way he's blowing kisses to the bench, are you finally coming around to my side on the whole Dylan Brooks thing? Blowing kisses to the Kings bench when he made a shot.
Oh, my gosh.
Huh?
I told you. Dylan Brooks is a good player. You called him, you know, you didn't think he had that in him. I'm telling you, this guy is a good player. And I'll tell you what, when I was talking to some of the coaches and some of the front office guys, you know what? Dylan Brooks is that guy you love to hate, especially when he's on the other team, right? You know, it's like, man, you hate him on the Rockets. But if he was on your team, every team needs somebody like Dylan Brooks. Forget what you want to say, what happened last year in Memphis. That was just a bad situation. But, man, you talk to the Rockets and what he brings to this team, the little edge, soon as he walks in the building, he has an aura about him, and he was getting buckets. And so that's why if I'm the Kings, I got to shut up Dylan Brooks today.
Mm-hmm,
Dylan Brooks
please.
Ain't going to be waving to us.
Yes.
That ain't happening today.
Yeah, if Dylan Brooks is on the other team, I don't like him. If he's on my team, I find
right.
a new team to root for.
Right.
But that's – you don't have to worry about that right now. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Will has some thoughts for us here on Sacktown Sports. Will, you're on with Kyle Draper. Whitey Gleason, what's up?
What's up, fellas?
Yo.
Hey, Drape, you my boy, man. You my boy. We go back to last year, but I got to pick a bone with you, Drape.
Uh-oh.
What you got?
Drape, just like in the Warrior game when we lost that game by 1 point, man, look, I think we had a timeout. We had scored. We had a timeout. And I'm thinking, Brown, man, call timeout. Look, don't end up with my little man guarding Gardner, Clay. I mean, if you ain't gonna use Kessler at all on defense, why is he on the team? Why he ain't in the G League? Thanks. I mean, the dude's 6'8", and they got him on the team for defense.
Gotcha, Willie. Thank you, but Kyle, I'll let you answer. But you can't call a timeout when the other team has the ball. Is basically
right,
part
right,
of the problem.
And,
yeah.
And Willie's being a classic Monday morning quarterback guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. There, you know, we could point to a couple of things that happened at the end of that game and say, Mike, you should have had this or you should have did that. You know,
but he's Willie's not even talking about Saturday's game. He's talking about last week.
Yeah, he's still in his feelings about Wednesday's game. We're past that. That was a great effort. And give Klay Thompson credit. Davion at 6'2", trying to guard a 6'6 Klay Thompson. That's tough, obviously. But you know what? I just think, you know, you're missing your guy, De'Aaron Fox, and boy, could we have used him the other night against Houston, because we just didn't have anybody offensively that could just take over a game. And so I'm looking at Domantas Sabonis tonight. He needs to be better tonight. Keegan Murray needs to be better tonight. And so we'll see what this Kings team is made of. You know, I'm not saying it's a must win or anything like that, but, you know, these are the games you're supposed to win. You got Houston, you got Portland coming up. You know, over these three games, I was thinking go 2-1. You're solid, you're good. They need to get tonight's game.
Yeah, that's what Jerry was saying. Jerry was in for you Friday as you were traveling. He said the same thing. Yeah, you know, you win two of these three, you're in good shape. So now you have no more wiggle room. Take care of business tonight. By the way, your Sacramento State Hornets are home this Saturday, 2 p.m. kickoff against the Cal Poly Mustangs. Get your tickets at hornetsports.com. Lots of great comments, suggestions, questions here already on the YouTube chat. Also, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Give us a call. Got a lot of comments already on the text line. Appreciate that. When we come right back, is this true, Drapes? We have a special edition, a Monday edition of Drapes Takes?
Yeah, I've been sitting on it for 48 hours. I'm ready to let it go. Let's
All right.
Go. I'm ready.
Coming up next, Sacktown Sports. Make no mistake, this is an important game tonight. I know it's early in the season. I know last year the Kings started slowly. And I know that, hey, if they were to lose tonight, be uncomfortable. But you still got, obviously, a long ways to go. That said, Kyle Draper, I think the Kings, it would behoove them to make a positive statement tonight. Would you agree with that, coming to us from Houston today?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I feel the restlessness from this Sacramento Kings fan base. I know people had us going 70-12 this season, so I get the angst that I'm feeling from Kings fans on social media and the YouTube chat and everything. And so, no, this is kind of a big game, though, because, you know, and why do we talk at length about it, you know, leading up to this season? The one criticism that outsiders had about the Kings is what's going to happen when you don't have, you know, great health. You know, what happens when De'Aaron Fox goes down or Domantas Sabonis or you're not a whole team? And so here we are, two games without Fox. We're 0-2 right now. And so, you know, you got to shut up some of them doubters, some of those naysayers. This is a big game tonight.
Yeah, and one of the keys to the Kings winning as many games as they did last year was that for the most part, I know there were exceptions that stand out, but they had a really good record, 26-8, something like that, against bad teams. Well, Houston doesn't look like they're going to be a good team this year. Maybe they'll surprise us. But you don't want to start the season by losing two in a row, even though they're road games, to a team that you don't expect to be one of the best teams in your conference, because the conference is going to be so tough. So a lot on the line tonight. By the way, here's before we get to Drape Stakes, which are coming right up, what do you make of this comment from Jaden here on the chat? Is Murray the player we thought he was? We want him to be a star, but what star struggled this much in the second year, getting in trouble for being soft and not shooting, but I love him. So what but I love him. What do you make of where Kings fans should be right now with Keegan Murray?
I think we're asking a lot of this guy, and I'm not just saying Kings fans, the organization, the coaching staff, Keegan himself, everybody expected him to be a lot better to start this season. But, you know, I could argue that he's just missing shots right now. He's still active. He's better defensively, right? He's a much more improved defensive player, I think, this season, and he's just missing shots right now. And so his slump is coming at the beginning of the year. Remember, if I'm correct, mid-December of last season, he went in through a little slump as well and then busted out of it. And so I'm not too worried about Keegan. All is going to take, you know, a 5-3 game, and he'll be A-OK. But he's asked to do a lot on the other end defensively. That goes back to our conversation from the first block. He's asked to guard, you know, at times the perimeter's best, the other team's best perimeter player. Like, you know, he's guarding Dylan Brooks. He's guarding Fred VanVleet, Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. And so I do think it's taken a little bit out of him, maybe some of his legs, and that's why he's not hitting it. But if you want to be a great player, this is what you got to do, Keegan.
Yeah, I think that's one of the absolute keys to the whole season. Everything you said is verifiable, 100% true. They are asking a lot of him, but they need a lot of him this year, especially with De'Aaron Fox out, if they're going to get anywhere near where they need to get to. And that was part of the deal. And he knows it, and they know it. And it's not just, well, he's a young player. They're asking a lot. They are asking a lot. And he's going to have to deliver. And maybe not every game, maybe not right away. But I think a lot of their success this year hinges on how well he handles those challenges that you just described, Kyle.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about Keegan, you know, all offseason, everybody wanted to go out and get a big name, go out and make a move, bring in Kyle Kuzma, where internally they thought Keegan
yep.
Murray was going to be that guy.
Yep.
And so,
he's got to be.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
Like Mike Brown said it on the All the Smoke podcast. Who's that third member of your big three? And without a doubt, he said Keegan. And so I'm not too worried about him just yet. Obviously, the numbers are down. The shooting efficiency is down. But he's contributing in other ways. And once he unlocks his shot, I mean, what concerns me, and not necessarily a concern, Whitey, is you would think with De'Aaron Fox down, other guys would step up. This would be Keegan Murray's chance to really shine. And he hasn't taken that bull by the horns. And so, you know, that's a little upsetting. I won't say concerning. That's a little upsetting. But it is what it is. He has another opportunity tonight, and let's see what he does.
Yeah, and let's hear what we have in store for us here. It's time for Drape's Takes special.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Yeah, this is an angry edition of Drape's Takes. I'm not in a good mood right now, Whitey. I'm upset. I'm pissed off. My squad came in here the other night and lost to Houston by 18. That cannot happen tonight. The Kings have to bounce back. Here's my takeaway from the other night in that loss here inside Toyota Center. One, we missed De'Aaron Fox. No duh. We get that, Drapes. But that's not the point. I'm going to dig into some numbers. Where we missed De'Aaron Fox the most is in the paint. Last year, he was among the league leaders in guards at finishing around the rim. Last night, last game, Saturday here in Houston, the Sacramento Kings just 21 of 40 shots inside the paint. That's barely above 50%. They got to do a better job. That's where they missed De'Aaron Fox. They got to convert on some of these easy ones, some of these shots inside the paint. And we saw that also against Golden State as well, Whitey, where they struggled finishing inside the paint. And that's where, in my opinion, they missed De'Aaron Fox the most.
Yeah, here's a fun fact for you. De'Aaron Fox is leading the league in points per game in the paint besides the restricted area, if you understand my thing. He actually, yeah, that's a number, and actually leads the league in points in the non-restricted area of the paint. So you're right, they miss him terribly.
Oh, look at you doing some research. I'm impressed.
Sure.
I see you out there.
Yeah.
I see. My second Drape's Take, I'm looking at the big fella in the middle. I'm talking about the three-time All-Star. I'm talking about the All-NBA third-team guy, Domantas Sabonis. Domas has to be better tonight. He cannot just, you know, draw even with Alperen Şengün. Like, he has to dominate that matchup. I got some numbers for you. 11 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists. Not too bad on paper, but he only went to the line 4 times, 4 free throws. He only had 10 shots. With De'Aaron Fox out, Domantas Sabonis should have like 20 shots tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And give the Rockets some credit. They did a great job surrounding him, sending 2 and 3 bodies at him. That's where his teammates have to do a better job helping him out. But Domas has to be better tonight.
Yeah, the assist number was low, but it reminds me of what was going on in the playoff series with the Warriors, where one of the reasons the assist numbers for Domas were low is because guys weren't making shots.
Yeah.
If he passes it and someone misses a shot, no assist for you. What
right.
concerned me, though, was he did have 5 turnovers, and you're right, yeah. Şengün outplayed him, and that can't happen tonight.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing. You make some shots, and hopefully that opens things up for Domantas Sabonis to go to work. So I'm looking for that tonight. Third and final Drapes tape, and this is the reason why Sacramento Kings fans should just calm down. Everything will be okay. Look at a deep dive into the numbers for Sacramento. They're shooting just 35.6% on wide open three-pointers. That's 23rd in the NBA. Last year, they were 12th in the NBA on wide open three-pointers at 39%. You can't tell me that all of a sudden Keegan Murray, Kevin Huerter, and these guys forgot to make shots. And so they're getting great looks. In fact, they're getting more wide open attempts than anybody in the entire NBA. So the offense is flowing. Sure, it didn't look that great the other night against Houston, but they're still getting great looks. They just aren't knocking them down. And to me, that's something I'm not panicking about. Now, if they were turning the ball over, which they're not, they're number 2 in the NBA in fewest turnovers per game, if they weren't getting high assist numbers, then I would be concerned. But they're just missing shots right now, Whitey, and making shots cures everything. I think the Kings look for a bounce-back offensive effort from them tonight.
Kevin Herter's shot doesn't look great. It looks like it's in his head a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Keep the faith. They're going to go in eventually. I know Deuce also had a story at NBCSports.com about how many wide-open threes the Kings are getting. I'm glad you mentioned the turnovers because I don't think the Kings are getting enough credit for that. Obviously,
right.
when you're off to a 2-3 start, you don't deserve a ton of credit for anything. But it's remarkable that they're pushing pace because Coach Brown wants them to push pace, and yet they're taking care of the ball. And that's something that bodes really well for their future this year once they can get this offense figured out.
100%, because when you look at it, the numbers are all in their favor. We talked about the defensive rating. They're middle of the pack, I think, 15.
That's great.
That's we got to talk
yeah.
about. Like, nobody's talking about that. That's what you wanted to see. You wanted to see them make a leap when it comes to defense. They're doing that. The offense, sure, they're not scoring as many points, but I just shared with you, they're getting more open looks than anybody in the NBA. And so all they have to do is start knocking down some shots, and then, bam, you know, they could have won the Warriors game. They should have won Saturday night's game. And so now you're looking at 4-1 instead of 2-3. And so I firmly and fully expect this team to shoot better starting tonight.
Real quick, your opinion. Is that Drapes takes for today?
Yeah, that's
awesome.
It. That's it.
Great
that's
job.
All
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm going to be back
Thank
with more
you.
Tomorrow, Big
All right.
Though.
Look forward to it. A lot of people, when you read comments and this story, that story, a lot of people are, you know, they're saying, Monk should be starting. Huerter's not playing well. Hopefully Huerter starts hitting shots. It's not an issue. But don't you think that if it gets to a point where Mike Brown makes a change in the starting lineup, it would probably be Duarte would start. Malik Monk's still going to come off the bench because he's so valuable there, right? So if you replace Huerter, it's probably not going to be with Monk.
Exactly. I don't get why everybody's saying, oh, I'll throw Malik Monk into the starting lineup. You know, Malik is perfect right where he's at. Mike Brown talked about it last week before we came out to Houston. You don't want to mess with that. And you look at Chris Duarte, he played 26 minutes
right.
the other night. And so I think Duarte would be the guy because what Mike Brown likes, obviously, is his defensiveness, like his ability to play defense. He's tenacious at it, and he can knock down a shot. You know, what needs to happen, though, which would solve all the problems in the world, if Kevin Huerter
yes.
and Keegan Murray
yes.
start shooting the shots and making them. Make what you did last season. It's a whole different ball game for this team.
Not to go all Rod Stewart on you, but tonight's the night, please. We're going to get back and talk a little football here. By the way, we're only with you till 3:30 today
Ooh.
Because of Kings coverage. But up next, yesterday, not a bad bye week for the 49ers as they move back into first place. That and more coming up next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Yeah, 49ers had a pretty good Sunday yesterday considering they didn't play. It's the Drive Guys taking you up to 3:30 when game night tips off, getting you ready for the Rockets and the Kings. Kyle Draper in Houston, Whitey Gleason here in Sacramento. First things first, Kyle, I gotta confess, I got another view that I doubt's gonna be popular at all, but I'm sorry.
What?
Caleb Williams, I would just, you know, that USC lost to Washington. Caleb Williams, you know, that's it for their conference title hopes, probably for his Heisman Trophy hopes. And I understand that's devastating. And he goes up and he kind of crawls up almost onto his mom's lap, or then he starts crying and cameras are showing him. And I just would, it's fine. I just would rather my quarterback not cry on his mom's shoulder in front of everybody. Maybe I'm just too old fashioned. It's fine.
I think you're old fashioned. Why not? Tell me why. Tell me.
Because that's please. My leader. That's my, and
exactly.
I know now.
What's wrong with that, though? Like, you got to be strong and emotional. It's okay. That's like saying, I don't want to see my dad cry at home or something like that. I don't want to see my parents cry. They're the leader of the house. Come on, why is this 2023, man?
I know, but that's why I'm telling you. I would rather not see one of my leaders when things aren't going well. I'd rather not see him cry. Again, I'm not saying, he's soft.
Over. It'd be different if he's crying on the field. The game was over, Whitey.
Yeah.
It shows me he cares. Would you rather see him back in the locker room playing cards, high-fiving guys?
No, I'd rather hear him say something inspirational. And what he said was, I wish I had the direct quote here, because it was something like, I want to – seriously, you probably heard it. I want to go home and curl up with my
puppy up with his dogs
and watch TV.
Yeah.
And I understand that. I would I'm just being honest. Again, it's not like, oh, I wouldn't draft him.
How about this?
But I would rather my quarterback have – kind of a stiffer upper lip. That's
well,
all.
And I saw Jason Whitlock's comments. What a loser that guy. I mean, I'm not a fan of Whitlock, and he pounced on Caleb Williams. How about this, Whitey? I want Caleb Williams to do whatever it is he feels comfortable with. I want him to be true to himself. And so I want my quarterback to be true to himself. I want my leader to be true to himself and not worry about what Whitey or Kyle or Jason or people on the outside think. How come people just can't be themselves?
He can. I'm just telling you. That's fine. Like I said, I'm not saying that I would never draft that guy. Red flag. I'm just saying I'd rather one of my leaders, like you mentioned, you don't want to see your dad cry. If something happened in our family and, you know, we had to rally around dad, I would rather dad say, you know what, it's tough, we're going to be okay, rather than I just want to curl up and with my doggy.
That's all I'm saying, man. He's being honest. That's why I'm okay with it.
Uh-huh.
Like, as long as you're being honest to yourself and who you are, damn everybody else. Screw it. You know, that's how I am. Yeah.
Like I said, I know I'm in the minority on this. Just being honest, because I saw it today. It's like, that's okay, but I think there's another way, too, that's okay. But anyway, be that as it may, people on the chat here are wondering if you know how to sing the Eagles song. Which I'm sorry I brought that up, but big win for your Eagles yesterday, Kyle.
Yeah, how about that? Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Okay. He does.
Score a touchdown.
You do.
One, two, three. Hit him high.
Now I'm going to start crying.
What a game that was last night, right? That was amazing. I tell you what, I texted you this morning, man. Both those teams, really nobody deserved to win that game. You know, some of the boneheaded plays made down the stretch. How about the Cowboys, man? I honestly want to give them some credit. They actually played a really good football game. It was a game of inches, literally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could have had the 2-point conversion. They could have had the touchdown. Like, they could have had the fumble recovery. And so they played, I could argue, a better game than the Philadelphia Eagles. But Jalen Hurts and company, they just find a way to win. I'll tell you, though, watching that game last night, Whitey, I'm concerned about my Eagles. That secondary is abysmal.
What about your tight end, too?
Yeah. And, you know, our tight end got hurt as well. And so the secondary's banged up. Like, if I'm the Eagles, I don't know what you can do to address it. But, you know, Dak looked amazing last night, and the secondary has to be better. They're getting the wins, but I'm not confident right now that they're clear head and shoulders above other teams in the league.
My feeling watching that game was, and again, I'm taking nothing away from your team because they have the best record, and they've earned every bit of it, and we know that they haven't played their best yet. So, you know, they've still got some room there to get better. But from a 49er fan standpoint, I was feeling like, you know, there's still a chance. They got, you pointed out, what a tough schedule they have. If the 49ers did address their needs with Chase Young, it's a big if, but if they can get back on track, I don't think they're out of it, I think it's very reasonable to think they still got a shot at the top spot in the conference.
Oh, yeah. It's a long season. You know, here we are. You know, if you're the Niners, what, you're not even fully halfway through the season. You go on a run sort of like you did last year. When you look at your schedule, sure, you got some tough games. That Seattle, Philly, Seattle stretch is going to be tough. And then Jacksonville coming up this week. But, you know, if you go in there and you beat Philly with what the Eagles have coming up, KC, Buffalo, mm-hmm. I mean, they got a tough schedule. And so you're right. Dallas losing, Seattle losing. You know, they all helped the Niners out this week.
Yeah, so as badly as things have gone for the Niners of late and three straight losses, it ain't good. But they wake up today and, hey, they're third in the conference, number one in the division again. So it all depends on, you know, to the extent to which Chase Young can help them fix everything. That's all they're asking, really. Can you fix everything on our defense? And if he, as long as he does that and – if Trent Williams is back, that's great. But I know Emil today, he's down at practice, and he was reporting, he was on our station earlier. He said Debo practiced today. Trent Williams didn't practice, so fingers crossed there.
Yeah, and that's a big loss. You know, obviously Debo, they need him back. But, you know, Trent Williams is the guy that pretty much starts everything. Obviously your pass protection, your run blocking, and you got to win the battles in the trenches on the line. And I think – you know, adding Chase Young helps them defensively, but offensively, you know, losing Trent Williams, that's huge for them, especially this week against Jacksonville, a team I think, you know, that's tough, hard-nosed, gritty. Their quarterback is gritty, and so they miss Trent, and we'll see how the week goes. But if you're the Niners, one thing I noticed last night, you know, watching football, were the Seahawks exposed? I mean, like
not to me. I tried to tell you.
I know you.
I was so happy.
They didn't just lose. They got mopped. They got mopped. The floor got mopped with them.
Yes.
I mean, unbelievable. Oh my gosh, Geno Smith looked awful. I mean, give the Ravens credit, man.
Ravens are a good team.
They're hitting their stride, but wow, they looked awful. You know, when you look at the NFC, Whitey though. I actually earned some respect for the Dallas Cowboys. And I want to know how you feel about them.
Like,
tough environment. Dak played. Hey, did you see that last drive, you know, the drive before last where Dak took off running and went airborne to try and get the touchdown? Like, Dak Prescott, he earned some points in my book with that performance yesterday.
Yeah, they looked so pathetic. There's no other word for it. Is there against the 49ers?
Yeah.
And it looked like, you know, we all thought, ah, frauds. And then since then, but that's a bad loss for them. They do have another shot at them, of course, at your team when they play them in Dallas. So, I'm kind of with you. I hate to admit that. But, yeah, Dallas has gained more of my respect, too. Real quick here, because I know in Houston where you are, they must be going crazy over C.J. Stroud, who threw for, what, 470 yards.
Yeah,
470 yards yesterday. Do you know, in a way, now bear with me here, he actually, the way he's playing, it puts a dent in my Brock Purdy argument. And I hate to admit this to you. Yeah, because, you know, one of the things I've been saying about Brock Purdy, because a lot of people, you've been one of them at times, but a lot of people have said, he's just not that impressive. That's why no one drafted him. Or that's why almost no one drafted him. He was the last draft pick. Well, Brock Purdy did really well in a thing called the S2 cognition test. He was off the charts. And that's recognizing schemes and picking things up and I don't know how they do it, but he was off the charts. And I've been saying, well, see, that's the key to a success. Well, it just so happens that C.J. Stroud, who threw for, what, 5 touchdowns and 470 yards, he was terrible on that test. He did the worst you could do, and yet look how he's playing. So I guess that S2 cognition test that some of us Brock Purdy people are holding up as, let's see. I guess it's pretty meaningless, Kyle, when push comes to shove.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. But, you know, it's what's crazy is somebody said it earlier, good thing the Texans didn't get the number one pick.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have taken C.J. Stroud. Bryce Young, I think, would have been the pick there. Like, C.J. Stroud, he looks legit. And how about our guy D'Amico down there getting it done? I mean, he's doing a fantastic job with that roster.
Mm-hmm.
So C.J. looks legit, man. He looks like the real deal.
And here's a number that I would have never guessed on C.J. Stroud. He has a rookie record now. His passer rating yesterday, 147.8. Ooh. Single game, that's the best of any rookie ever. So I was wondering, well, who held the previous record? Marcus Mariota in 2015. Ooh. I would have never guessed that in a million years. But that's your backup now, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was a little worried there yesterday, too, that we might see Marcus Mariota. Remember, I tell you what, that was a dirty hit, I thought, that the Cowboy, I forget who did it, when he landed.
That's football. Kyle,
yeah, don't give me
that's
that.
Football.
That's football. You know you can't go on low on a quarterback, Whitey.
I didn't see a
flag.
He
almost knocked my – exactly. Unbelievable. Like, they almost ended my quarterback season, and I was worried. But, you know, he plays hurt, man. Yeah. What a guy.
He's playing well.
He's a player, yes.
Up next, the NFL's ninth Sunday begs the question, has that ever happened before? Look at a couple of things that went down yesterday that were just borderline unbelievable, and more on the Kings as well with Kyle Draper in Houston today. It's a drive, guys, rolling on Sacktown Sport. Oh, I wish it would never end. I was just watching Kyle Draper, some highlights here in the monitor of the Ravens over the Seahawks, and I could have watched that. Yeah, more. 37-3. How about this? I just saw this number. ESPN posted this number. The Ravens defense against teams that currently have winning records, the Ravens defense this year against teams that currently have a winning record, they're giving up 10.6 points per game.
Wow.
That's the Ravens' defense, as much as we focus on Lamar for good reason. How about that?
Yeah, they're a complete team, man. And you know, Lamar is back in the MVP discussion, and that Ravens' defense looking like early 2000s Ray Lewis.
Yes.
Baltimore Ravens' defense. And, no, they got a chance, too, because, I you know, when you look at it, I think the AFC is wide open right now. I think there are a number of teams that can come out of it. Obviously, Baltimore, Cincinnati's playing great right now, mm-hmm. and I don't think anybody wants to face them, and obviously Kansas City.
Drive, guys, with you till 3:30. Then we've got game night, and, of course, Kyle in Houston with the coverage of the Kings and the Rockets tonight on California Sports – I'm sorry, Bay Area Sports Net.
Come on, why do you got to get it right, big fella? Leave
Bay
the
Area
promos.
Sports California.
No, NBC Sports
Boy, that's
California.
That's it.
Oh, thanks. You're telling me that's
I'm
it.
I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Thank you. I don't know. It's a daylight savings, and it's supposed to be the other way that throws you off, but I'm all out of whack here today. I apologize. Here's a question for you on the chat here from Linda Harold. Kyle, she wants to know, we need Fox back. When is De'Aaron Fox going to be back? Do we know?
No, still don't know, and that's a great question. Obviously, I was thinking maybe today, but, you know, I said it the other day, Fox didn't even take part in shoot-around on Saturday, spent the entire shoot-around just riding a bike, a stationary bike, got up some shots, and then got treatment afterwards. And so I'm sure this is taking longer than he expected to, you know, because remember, after it, he said, you know, a few days to a week, and here we are, you know, a week plus now, and maybe – Wednesday at home against Portland. But, man, I tell you, they do need him, especially you got Shea Gilgeous-Alexander coming up on Friday. I mean, you're going to need all hands on deck against that OKC team.
And that's a tournament game, I don't need to remind you.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see what happened to the Nuggets with their tournament court?
No,
what happened? One of the players, and I'm sorry, I forget who it was warming up. They hadn't played a game yet. And this was like early in the day, and he's out on the floor warming up, you know, like shoot around. And he's like, something's off here. This doesn't look right, and I can't reach the basket. They had the 3-point line painted too far out.
I did hear about that.
They had to redo it. And he's like, hey, something's wrong. Yeah. So
good thing they caught that. That's one of those things you could suspend a game, like postpone a game.
Oh, yeah. They'd have to cancel that sucker, huh?
Yeah. An in-season tournament game. Think about that. Oh,
what did you think of some of the courts this weekend?
I don't know. I mean,
a little over the top.
Yeah,
me,
a little over the top. It doesn't bother me, but, you know, some of them looked okay. Other, you know, I think it was Chicago's, I think, looks really gaudy, I guess. Like, I don't know if I like it. Like, it's so much red. And so, but then Milwaukee's, you know, Milwaukee went the other way. Like, you know,
kind of austere,
exactly. And so, I mean, it is what it is. We'll see the Kings coming up on Friday.
I appreciate the effort. I understand. Sometimes I feel like they're hitting me over the head with this, but it's okay. Yeah, I get it. Hopefully, it'll be something special that we're all going to remember and enjoy. Yesterday was a weird day in the NFL. There was two things, Kyle, that really stood out to me. One is the fact that Josh Dobbs, who'd just gotten there with the Vikings, and he's been now, let's see, he's been on five teams in 45 weeks. And because he was on the Detroit practice squad, then Tennessee, then Cleveland, then Arizona, and now the Vikings. And did you see the video of him practicing the snaps and the cadence on the sideline?
Because
he didn't even know the guys, the offensive lineman in the center. And then he gets pressed into duty because the other quarterback got hurt. And he got, what, he got sacked for safety and then strip sacked. And he came back and won the game.
Yes.
Not only did he not know his teammates, he didn't know the plays, and he won the game.
He's been the best story in the league this season. I mean, going from, you know, off the scrap heap and joining Arizona and being plugged in the service and, you know, helping them get the big win over Dallas earlier this season, then getting traded. I mean, you could argue that the Cardinals should have kept him as quarterback and traded Kyler Murray, you know? And so, no, kudos to him, man. That was fun to see, and I'm happy for him. And they said he's going to start again this week for the Vikings. So we'll see, man.
Yeah, he said he learned all that from Coach Tomlin because he was with the Steelers, too. And he said Coach Tomlin taught us, and this is to me, for me anyway, I think it's one of those great life lessons. Nobody cares about your circumstance. They just care that you do the best in the circumstance you're in. So, you know, he had every excuse, right? Say, I don't know the guys. But no, he made the best of it and won the freaking game. So good for him. And then how about Dare Ogunbowale, what he did? Dare Ogunbowale of the Texans.
Texans, yes.
Yeah, because Fairbairn got hurt, so they need a kicker. And so he's a running back?
A running back, number 33.
Yeah.
And nailed a 29-yarder.
Yes, like it was nothing. And he just, the coolest part was he makes it, he runs back downfield, like, yeah, so what? You know, I've seen kickers that, one of the Grammaticas injured himself celebrating a kick, and he's a kicker. And this guy's like, yeah, it's not that hard.
And
that was incredible.
What was so great, that kick came, if I'm correct, in the fourth quarter, about 9 minutes to go,
it
put the team ahead. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the game-going-ahead kick, and he drilled it, and he got some air under it, too. It looked legit. I don't know if it would have been good from 50 yards, but, you know, from 35, it still might have been good. And so, no, that was a great story. And what they say, the first non-kicker since Wes Welker, I believe, to kick a field goal. And Wes Welker did it in 2004 with the Patriots, I believe. Was it with the Patriots or Dolphins? I can't remember who he was with at that time.
Yeah, I saw that too. And I think, was it Peter King had this? Somewhere I saw this note. Ogunbowale, he's the first running back. I know Welker wasn't running back, but he's the first running back to make a field goal attempt since 1979.
Wow.
So, yeah, like I said, I don't know if I've ever seen that. I just, you know, as much as we talk about Jake Moody and all the kickers and how tough it is, and he just looked like, maybe that's it. It's like, well, I'm not expected to make it, so if I miss, no big deal. He just drilled that sucker, Kyle.
Yeah, and how do you know he can do that? Is that something you practice, or does the coach turn around and say, hey, guys, can anybody kick the ball?
Kicked?
You
know? Yeah.
I wonder. I hope he's the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
That would be awesome, right?
Yeah. He also had a kickoff that he drilled through the end zone, but I think because of penalties, he was kicking from about the 50-yard line, so wasn't that big of a deal. But still, for a running back to do that and help them, as
hopefully
you say,
he got the ball too, right?
Yes.
Like, that's one of those things where give me that ball, I'm going to save it, you know, for the rest of my life, show my kids, I kicked the field goal in the NFL. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and Josh Dobbs got a game ball too. Yes. Which is so incredible because early in the game, as you probably saw, early in the game, he's over with the coaches and they're just trying to show him, here's what you do. You don't do what you just did where, you know, the safety, don't do that. And they win the game. So that was amazing. And I think sports are at their best to me when they are inspiring, when they inspire you. And to me, both those guys are like, wow, that's really inspirational that those guys came through like that. Hopefully the Kings are inspirational tonight. When we come back, what's job one for the Kings? How badly do they need a win? Kyle Draper from Houston with more on that when we come right back. It's Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.